I want to read two verses, Romans 5, 12 to 14. I could read several verses in the same chapter. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. First of all, let us ask the question, how do people believe that babies are saved? There are those who believe that sponsors can make covenants for babies, and they sometimes seal that covenant with water. May I say, if you're resting on that tonight, I'm very sorry for you, because there isn't any water covenant in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I can find a blood covenant, I can find a threshold covenant, I can find a salt covenant, but there is no water covenant. Now, in the first place, there's no water covenant there, and in the second place, there's no such instruction in the Word of God that anyone should make such a covenant for a child. I'm speaking of infants, and this is a very serious thing that would lead people to believe something that is only a man-made idea. Occasionally, people call me up and want to know when we're going to have a baptismal service for infants, and I tell them that we don't have it. When the child grows up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and accepts Christ as their Savior, and then makes a confession of Him before the world and manifests a new and a change of life and conversion, then we believe in believer's baptism, but none other. Now that's an important thing that we keep that in mind. If you turn to the Word of God, God never asked children to be like adults, but He said that we as adults, except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And like a child, we have to believe without suspicion, and we love without distinction, and hope without limitation. Thereby, God will add to our love wisdom, and He'll add to our hope an everlasting foundation. And God will preside over. That 18th chapter of the book of Matthew is very simple. And God there enjoins older people and adults to be like children. But nowhere in the Bible did He ask children to be like adults. Therefore, that's an important thing. Now, let us go a little further. In this passage we have here, 12 through 14, these two, three verses, I'm not saying that it was intended to be a pattern of logic, but it is. As many times we find in the propositions of Jesus, we find patterns of logic. Because it was very common in that day. Sometimes people consciously and other times unconsciously followed it. There was an old syllogism that all men are mortal. Socrates is a man, therefore Socrates is mortal. And what Paul is saying here, all men are mortal. All men die. It's a universal death that all men suffered. Therefore, there must have been a universal cause. Therefore, if there is a universal pattern of death, and for the old, the young, for the good, the bad, for the religious, for those who are ethical, moral, and those who aren't, then there must have been some universal cause for this death. And there was. There was. Or we read, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, then, Adam's transgression was the cause of the universal law. Now, we go further and we say, what caused this cause, we ask. In other words, all men are mortal. Socrates is a man, therefore Socrates is mortal. And now, why then do all men die? Why do all have Adam's seed in them? And why do all of them, even though they haven't willfully transgressed as Adam did, how come that this is true? Because we read very plainly in 1 Timothy about this, and it said Adam was first formed and then Eve. And we read Adam was not deceived, but Eve, being in the transgression, was deceived. Now, in other words then, everyone, whether they were willful transgressors or not, everyone has a sin nature from Adam. It's passed on from Adam, a sin nature. That means they have a blinded intellect, and they have corrupted emotion, and they have a depraved will by nature. Even though they're infants in a cradle, they have that. And this text tells us, as we take it in the context, that Christ died for that carnal nature. Not long ago, I was visiting with one, and he said, I have to confess, I have a lustful mind, he said. And he said, I can't control it. And it made me think of the interview that our president had with the representative of Playboy magazine, when he made such foolish statements that were uncalled for. I wish my mother, who never got beyond the fifth grade, could have answered for him. And she could have told him, as I told this young man. I said, listen, I said, my mother used to say, there is no way we can keep the birds from flying over our heads, because we have a carnal nature. The heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. The world, the flesh, and the devil has a carnal nature that it likes to play with. My mother would say, but boys, you don't have to let those birds build nests in your hair. Now that's a far cry from the foolish remarks that our poor president made. Very foolish. Now, let us go further. We read, for we sometimes were foolish, disobedient, and deceived. That's the nature that we inherit by birth. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. And that's the carnal nature. And then we go further. Living in hate and enmity and hating one another. Now, there is the carnal nature in its state and in its service and in its slavery. But that text is followed immediately by another text. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are still speaking about the reference, he said, to not after those who had sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Adam sinned willfully. Eve was deceived. Adam was the head of the race. Eve was not the head of the race. It means then that a fallen nature for which Christ died, as Adam passed it on to us, Christ died for that fallen nature. He also died for our sins of omission and commission if we accept him. But no one will go to hell for Adam's sin. I've heard so much foolishness about that. People that don't know their Bibles. Christ took care of the root sin in you, but it's the fruit of that sin. It is the sins of omission and commission that you allow that carnal nature to commit that you have to answer for. I'd use an illustration on that. Back in the days when my father did a lot of truck farming, and back in those days when a dollar was 100 cents, he used to have his boys put up as many as 3 loads a week of vegetables and fruit, and he'd drive off with the team early in the morning. And sometimes, if we were fortunate, one of us boys would get to go with him. And it was fun. He backed up to a market similar to the one on the near north side, if you visited it. and the farmer's market. And they had inspectors, and they also had wholesalers who would come and buy, storekeepers would come and buy for their stores. And you know, you might have apples that look like real prize apples with blushing cheeks, maybe four-tier apple. And that means only four would lie in a box touching each other, large, beautiful apples. And sometimes, as they would look them over, they might find a wormhole. Now, they were very strict about any contamination, and worms were a contamination. You may have heard this story, there's something worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm. It's much worse to bite into an apple and find a half a worm. That's you got mincemeat then, you see, and that's not nice. Now, that apple had, when it was in the blossom, an egg was laid in that blossom, and that worm hatched out in the heart of the apple. And then, in the course of time, he's going to bore out and come to the surface. If he lives that long, they sometimes died in the heart. But the inspector never stopped by just looking at the outside of the apples. He would get his knife, pull out his jackknife, and cut the, and sometimes he'd split a beautiful looking apple and find in the center one of these worms that hadn't bored out yet. They were very, very strict. Now, may I say that's a good illustration of the life. May look beautiful, may look beautiful. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the prudent or the simple. In other words, your intellect has been blinded by sin, the sin nature in you. Your emotions have been corrupted. The heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. It leans toward the world, the flesh, and the devil, and is a rich, ripe seedbed for all the thoughts of evil. And then the will, you know, intellect has been blinded, the emotions corrupted, and the will depraved. That means it's bent away from God. Man is running from God. His will is bent away from God. But we read in the Word of God that God is able to make us to will and to do His good pleasure. How wonderful that is. He is able. Now, having then this nature, we read here that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And then we read on, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. That's troubled a lot of people, but Paul explained it earlier in the book when he said in Romans 2:14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. This is why the philosopher said that his soul was moved with awe and wonder to see the moral law in the heart of man. It's there. Whether there's been any law touching him or not, he becomes a law unto himself, either excusing or accusing himself. I recall one time when some 20 years ago, I wrote a book called The Local Church of the New Testament. I was in the Conservative Baptist movement at that time, and on page 7, I said there are three common errors that cause Christians to fail in having the proper regard for Christ's earthly church and its officers and its organizations. Many Christians think that the universal church is entered by faith and faith alone. Babies dying in infancy never had saving faith, but the Bible teaches their salvation. We've just talked about Christ dying for our sin nature that we inherited from Adam. But when you sin willfully, then you deliberately, as Adam did, see, Adam was not deceived, but Eve, being in the transgression, was deceived. And then in 9/10 of the babies die, if 9/10 of the babies die in infancy in some of our heathen lands, and I visited there where some of the heathen would use these loblolly potions in the half of a grapefruit or in half of maybe a coconut shell and pour that loblolly of mud and water into the baby's mouth as a kind of a ritual. Well, very few of them lived. Unbelievable. They could be populating in heaven more rapidly than the so-called Christian America or Minneapolis tonight. If infants had believed and should have been regenerated, it is still true that regeneration is not enough to give an individual entrance into the universal church. Their bodies would still await the resurrection. God's children of all ages are awaiting the redemption of the body. Every Christian will one day be sanctified to a complete conformity to the image of Christ. This has not yet happened. Romans 8:29. Thus we see from Scripture that the general assembly of Hebrews 12:23 in glory referred to as the universal church required for membership, justification, regeneration, sanctification, and glorification of the body. And now people attribute all of this to an infant when they make a water covenant for the infant. Not true. Now we must say a word about the law. The law, we're told, never could cancel sin. For example, if you could begin now to live a sinless life, you have to turn to the blood of Christ to cancel out the sins of yesterday and all of your past. If you could go out of here tonight and never commit another sin, you still have to have the blood of Christ to cancel the sins of yesterday. Now the blood of Christ is needed to make dead men live. If you're not saved, you're dead in trespasses and sins, like you got in Ephesians 2:1. Therefore, being dead in trespasses and sins, we are. And the law could not make dead men live. The law can't make bad men good. Not at all. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, may I say a word about the necessity of the Spirit, because we cannot treat this subject without it, and that's a very important thing. I recall back in the days when again on the farm, we used to sometimes make our own harrows and take a fine piece of hardwood, maybe a 4x4 or maybe a 4x6, and you'd drill holes in it with an auger and either drive wooden pegs or steel pegs, something like the spikes they used on the railroad, and drive those into the hardwood hole. And sometimes Father would be watching and he'd say, "Stop, stop," he said, "you're splitting the wood." "Well, the hole is too small." "No, it isn't. The hole is the right size. Go get the oil can," he'd say. "Go get the oil can." We get the oil can, put a few squirts of oil in there. There wasn't any splitting of that hard wood. What did the oil do? The oil reduced the friction. And you know, we're told by Jesus, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go away, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because you believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. And of judgment because the sins of this world are judged." Of judgment. Now, let us go still further. I said we're going to have to answer for sins of omission. Did you know the 10 wise and the 10 foolish virgins? And when the 10 foolish came, the door was shut. And the doorkeeper said, "I know you not." What had they done? They had neglected to get oil in their lamps. And oil represents the Holy Spirit in the Word of God almost always. and they had neglected. They hadn't done anything except to neglect the thing. Now, except a man have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you are a born-again child of God, you're indwelt tonight by the Holy Spirit. Let's go further. We find the talents, 5, 2, and 1. The man with one talent said, I knew you were a hard taskmaster. I hid my talent, he said, in the earth. And he returned it to him. I wonder how many people the Lord had in mind when he talked about those who hide their talents. I don't know what your talent is that you've hidden, but I never have received a compliment on anything in my born days. But what I said, I haven't done anything that I shouldn't have done, and maybe I should have done a lot more, because I'm answerable to God for any ability he's given me. I'm answerable to God for anything I can do. I'm answerable to God morning, noon, and night for anything, anything that is in my power to accomplish. I'm not the one who can say I will or I won't. No, we can, again, to follow up on the Spirit, we can resist the Spirit of God. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51. We can quench the Spirit. That's putting out a fire. We're told how many fires are raging out in those western states. I one time fought fire on a little part of Powell Lake near Powell River. I worked up there where we would take a deer trail that went across the peninsula, and we'd go with our shovels and widen the deer trail and throw the brush back on either side to stop the fire when it came through. And maybe about the time that we thought we were accomplishing something, there would be a fire streak up a large tree, and then the wind would carry a brand across maybe 3 or 4 blocks and start another one somewhere else. Nobody knows what it is to fight fire unless they've been in it. And they're dependent upon Mother Nature more than anything else. But I say, we can quench this Holy Spirit in our lives. We can quench it. We can tone down the orders if we want to. We can resist the Holy Spirit. And we can willfully sin against the Holy Spirit if we want to. It's in our power. Then again, we find in Matthew 25, where the Lord used a parable again, and he said that I was sick and ye visited me, I was hungered and ye fed me, I was in prison and ye visited, and so on, that long series. And then he turned around and said, but he said to those who did not answer, when I was hungered they gave me no food, when I was in prison they visited me not. And he said, when I was sick, they didn't come. And he said, these shall go out into everlasting fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What for? For what you didn't do. Not for something you did. For what you didn't do. There is no religious faith in the world as high in its standards as the Christian faith. There is no religious faith in the world that will condemn you for what you didn't do, except Jesus Christ and the Christian faith. It's a very serious thing. And then I want to come, if I may, to the end of this message. There's one sin for which Christ did not die, and that is the sin of rejecting him. He did not die for that sin. Any other sin, he who can put under the blood. But he did not die for those who reject him, for those who will not believe in him, for those who do not accept him. Yea, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. But he has to have the invitation. Notice how it reads. He said, I will come into him and will sup with him. First, he'll be a guest in your house of life. And after he's been a welcome guest, then he turns around And he's the host. He's in charge of your life then. He begins by your being in charge when you invite him in. But after you've invited him in, then he turns the tables. He said, when he says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. In other words, then we turn over the rulership of the house to him. I wonder, as I speak tonight, how many have been concerned about the salvation of babies who haven't been too much concerned about their own salvation. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance is mine, I will recompense, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Heavenly Father, breathe upon us tonight. We thank thee for the clarity of thy word. We pray that it may find its way on wings of faith to the darkest recesses of every sinner's heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.